All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. I'm your host, Tally. How's everybody doing? My heart really goes out to people of Southern California and those who are starting to experience fires in the northern part of the city of New York, both places I had lived. And it kind of is a nice bridge into talking about, although not so nice bridge, into talking about why destruction needs to happen in order for consciousness to rise. It's like kind of a perfect segue because I've asked this question a lot throughout my awakening journey of why things have to feel so dense and become so extreme and feel so hard in order for us to like get the message. And I am always met with a very similar response, is in that it invariably ends up being a tap, a slap, a punch, a leveling out. You will get a subtle cue or a nudge of something not working in your life, something that you need to look at, an ideology or a belief system that needs to be challenged. And when that is ignored, knowingly, unknowingly, or you spiritually bypass knowingly, unknowingly, then that tap becomes something stronger and it's like a slap in the face. And then that gets brushed under the rug or justified in some way. The behavior continues and it becomes worse. So it's like feather brick truck, right? You kind of will get a catalyzing event or moment to wake you up and shake your belief systems to the core. And unfortunately, the consciousness is our consciousness, our collective consciousness, is a reflection of the patterns that we're running, good and bad, knowingly, unknowingly, in variations. Okay, it's a scale. And what's happening in Los Angeles and what has been for a while, and I felt it long before I actually left, is the consciousness there is a reflection of the darkest aspect of what LA is. Let me explain. So every single city has a specific lesson and they have an optimal aspect of the energy and the grid line of that city. And LA is incredibly alluring. And I believe that people come there and are drawn to LA because they don't know who they are and they don't really have a strong identity. And they will pursue artistic endeavors to find who they are. In the process, you have to be able to transcend seduction. You have to transcend illusion at that level of it. The sparkle, the shininess, the 75 and sunny weather, the allure of making very quick and easy money. There's a lot of fuck you money in Los Angeles, and because it's the epicenter of entertainment. Unfortunately, I lived there for so long and I saw the arc of really great storytelling turn into really terrible storytelling that was so became such a corporate, mediocre, mundane malaise of corporatology. I mean, it's basically just the land of superhero stories, Marvel, how many times you can tell the same story over and over again, and franchise versus investing in or taking risks in really good ideas. Now you're going to see the whole thing being replaced with AI, and we've already saw that in commercials. People are drawn to the Southern California vibe because of the artistry and access to opportunity, quote unquote opportunity, but that comes with a price. It always does. Anything that is fast and furious will come with a price, and it will amplify the patterns within you because money is an amplifier, because it is, there's nothing to it. It is fiat. I've talked about this ad infinitum, but if you look at the US dollar, for example, it literally says a promissory note. Okay, it got chained. We traded out the dollar that was once gold backed to this fiat paper because during the movement out west in the late 1800s, you couldn't just have a wagon wheel with a bunch of gold. That shit would get stolen and it was really, really dangerous. So banks would trade for notes and that gold was used as collateral for securities. Then that trade got traded out for human collateral and labor as securities, which is a whole other conversation, which I might get into a little bit, but it's for a whole other podcast. It's kind of leading into some of the sovereign system stuff that I talk about, not my sovereign system, which is similar in ways, actually, but becoming sovereign from the government, meaning, I'll get into this for a second, and then I'll come back to the Seduction Los Angeles thing. There's two systems running, okay, at least in the United States. And there's two systems running in the city of London, and then there's two systems running in Vatican City. Anything that's a corporation, any city that's a corporation has two systems running. It's turned its quote-unquote people into a corporation. In the United States, we get a social security number and we get a birth certificate. Those two things are used to trade our collateral and our stock on a securities exchange. And that's why we actually have access to loads and loads and loads and millions of dollars. The older that we get, the more we accrue age and labor. And let's say the more education we get, our stock goes up. And within those two systems, there's a privilege and there's a right. Technically, the moment that you're born, they give you a certificate, of a birth certificate, which is a copy of something. So where is the original, right? And then they start trading you on the securities exchange. And they give you a social security number, which is basically like a corporate EIN number. So you're turned into a corporation immediately, and you're given and put into these contracts that you do not know that you are signing, which makes you a federal employee. The sovereign movement, or what people are trying to do, what I'm in the process of doing is turning myself, and I'm actually dissolving those contracts. So I'm not a corporate employee. I am a living woman, right, of God in flesh and blood. And I have privileges, not rights, because that is my birthright to be able to have land, to be able to understand the system in a different way, and to live in peace and harmony and be an example of the way humans need to treat each other. And then you make a decision of what you want to actually spend these notes on, or how you want to earn and what you want to contribute into a quote unquote corporate society, which is the reason that we have trusts, which is one of the questions that came in. Why do you have a trust? Why is it important? You have a trust because a trust is a way of creating a free of liability, I'm a free person with its own EIN number, non-corporate entity that can enter into agreements on your behalf, the living person, with all of these corporate entities. It essentially means that you control everything, but you own nothing. And you don't want to own anything because you don't want the liability. So I have, let's say, the business that I'm making these agreements with each and every one of you. When you enter into session with me, we have an agreement that there's going to be an exchange of information. I'm essentially the mediator between the trust and whoever is going to interact with the trust. I'm the beneficiary of that. So a trust is a different way of creating a system where you put everything that you own or everything that you've created, all the IP, into this very safe lockbox that essentially any federal entity cannot touch. They have no right to access that. So you create this incubation and kind of the safety net around you that voids you of liability, but you become 100% the benefactor of everything. Because again, you have to separate the living person from the corporate person. And the living person is the beneficiary from the trust that everything, quote unquote, the corporate person has dissolved itself from the federal government owning. So right now you're a federal employee, period, the end. You enter into state agreements, this is just for the US for now. You enter into agreements with your state and you enter into agreements with the quote unquote country, but really you're entering into agreements with the United States Inc. And the idea is to dissolve yourself from those agreements and then create your own agreements and then engage with them as you see fit, not the other way around. So you have total and complete sovereignty, control over how you want to interact and interface with the world and the contracts that you want to make. So you have rights, not privileges. So they confuse you in saying that the Constitution is your right, but it's a privilege that they bestow upon the people predicated on behavior and credit scores and all of this other nonsense. So a trust is another way of saying it's an encrypted domain where your IP goes into, and then you manage that and no one else has access to it and they're not allowed to have access to it. That's the difference. So I'm kind of straddling two worlds right now at the moment, which has been a very interesting experience because part of my own journey, and I've told you guys this before, those who followed me for a while, is for me to go into the belly of the beast and essentially transcend it and then come through the other side to be able to teach it and I'm in the belly of the beast now with understanding the larger agenda with electric and EV cars, the experience of that, the data sharing, the data leaking. And if I have nothing to hide, right, and I'm fully connected with myself and I'm following the cues, which was to free myself in all contracts, physical and non-physical, multidimensional, then I have nothing to fear. I'm simply moving into, it's no different than when I get into sessions with you and I'm faced with some crazy dark shit that the illusion of it is very scary, but I know I can transcend anything. So this is the part that I'm in now. So you want to have an irrevocable trust and you want to get an EIN number for your name. And then that's how you navigate the world. And very few people have the tenacity to follow it all the way through, because you're basically, like energy work, you're in the Wild West, you know? You're really on your own. You're kind of trying to stand outside of a system that is operating a very specific way. And very few people inside of the system know how it works. It's like Neo and the Matrix and the agents, for real. I mean, the more that I'm moving into this process of clarifying and dissolving contracts and clarifying definitions of things, I'm like, holy fuck, this, like, the Matrix was for real, real a documentary. But back to LA. So the goal of LA is to transcend seduction, and how fun she can seem and how exciting she can seem and the distraction and the allure. You need to transcend the illusion of that and try to find out who you are inside of all of it. In New York, you need to transcend ambition and striving and the never enoughness. You have to transcend how hard the elements are. Everything is cutthroat. It moves at a very, very different pace. And you have to decide who you are going to be and who you are inside of all of that. So you actually have to transcend the illusion of grind in New York. Both places are void of balance, and both places are wildly out of balance right now. Socioeconomically, politically, vibrationally, energetically, spiritually, out of balance. It's becoming wildly more out of balance the more the days go by. And unfortunately, okay, there has been these feather brick truck moments in all of these cities. California's been on fire for a long time. There's a lot of corruption. There's viruses, the best way I can describe it, moving through a network, hitting major cities. And this is not the first we're going to see of this. I've said this from the very beginning that I started making podcasts. Every single system that is not for the greater whole of the collective will break down. Financial systems, political systems, all of it. You're going to see where the corruption is happening. It's eroding from the inside out. This consciousness does not care who it destroys in its path. It is vicious. It is a program that is meant to fulfill itself at all cost, at any and all costs. It does not care. That's why it's kind of frightening, because with the advent and the advancing of AI, it can be used as a tool, and it can be used as a tool for good and a tool for destruction en masse. So look out for New York to be the next hit with devastation. I'll just put it like that. Now, multiple layers going on. I've also said Lahaina was not an accident, that moving into an entirely, the creation of an entirely separate grid line has already happened, with satellites going up during COVID, with 5G networks getting installed and towers getting installed everywhere, from them turning up the radiation on that to eliminating water access to creating direct energy weapons. You guys can fact check all of this and look all of this up. It's not an accident. To the creating disasters to insert government as a solution has been the algorithm for a very long time. EV is part of that. Everything on electrical grid where you own nothing and you're happy. That's the ultimate agenda of the World Economic Forum. Literally, you own nothing, you'll be happy. And whereas, let's say, the system that I'm trying to create for you guys multidimensionally, whether or not that's creating your own system, learning how to free your own patterns, or learning the state national movement, the sovereign movement, whatever you guys want to call it, but it's literally the non-government employee movement, okay, is you control everything and they don't. And you work in harmony. Okay. There's no fight. You're in harmony and you come in peace. You're just clarifying contracts that you're not interested in engaging in those things. So again, I'm in the belly of the beast right now with all of it right now. But unfortunately, again, coming back to these systems, is everything turning in, everything having a reliance on an electrical grid that they can control and ultimately shut down. This isn't fear. This is just a reality or an agenda. This is why we're having these conversations. This is why I'm, you know, my why in quotes is enormous, because I can be a leader to the best of my ability and give you guys information to the best of my ability in the process and give you a heads up on what to look out for. Nothing is an accident. There's no coincidences. There is a predicated and very meticulous agenda at play. And it's just too weird when four or five fires start at the same time. Bro, you've got to be kidding me. Like Stevie Wonder can see that shit. So Los Angeles, quote unquote, city of angels, city of illusion, having a reality check, entering into a quote unquote hellscape, unfortunately, heartbreaking, devastating. It is a reflection of the consciousness there. So you have, for example, San Francisco, very, very high level technology. Okay, Meta there, Salesforce there, so many startups coming out of it, corporate, capitalistic, very power hungry, polarization of capital experience trickled all the way down to the people living in the city. And you literally have meth on the streets and it's legal, fentanyl on the streets and it's legal. So the consciousness and the disparagement of that city being reflected from the wealth consciousness there, or the striving for wealth, the striving for power. Do you see how it's both sides of the same coin? You have an imbalance. And it's so imbalanced. You have extreme poor, you have extreme wealthy. The same thing is happening in Los Angeles. The same thing is happening in New York City. That bubble has to burst in order for there to be an equilibrium, a reckoning. This is what Revelations is literally all about. Like seeing the truth from a very different perspective. A revelation is, wow, I have been lied to. We have been lied to. It is unsustainable for us to continue to live with this much polarity. And we have seen the ping pong through the political landscape and online discourse. We've seen the fallout now of deep state censorship, and now we're going to see a whole other wave of it, and how everything quite literally is a negotiating tool. You have to understand in the world of politics that it is literally all a game. If you can't see that now, you will eventually. Everything is a negotiating tool. Some people are better negotiators than others, but I mean, the veil has been lifted. Those who have been on the journey for a while can feel it, can see it, and are kind of going like, now what? It has to come down to mobilizing locally and creating micro communities. It's what's really important about creating micro communities online. And I've been talking about this being a trend for a while, that these mega, mega influencers having all of the ownership and all of the market share online is going to be a thing of the past. You're going to see really high level impact with seemingly smaller communities, but very, very engaged communities. I can say that that's been happening with Super Freak. I mean, it's crazy that I just got cut off from the TikTok nonsense months ago and then calibrated from that. And my business has been stronger than ever because I've had to soften and work my energy in a totally different way. And trust and know that the people who are going to find the content and find me and find this work are truly, truly ready for it. And it's better. It's about going really deep with people who are really ready to transform. And 2025 is already proving to be a year of wild amounts of transformation. What does transformation need? Energy has to quite literally burn off, and it will be destructive. We've known this for a while. I mean, how many human casualties have to happen between super viruses that are created in a lab or a factory or bioweapons or the food we're eating or the air? People who know and can see this stuff, that's the gift. You see it and you have choice. You can choose to do something differently. You can choose to navigate and maneuver left, right, or the other. You can choose to live with machines and have your life in a completely different feedback loop and not be in fear. This is about perceptual control and spiritual control versus physical control. So the feather brick truck analogy, right? Or the tap, slap, punch analogy is you being able to see light years before you have to have your body physically hurt, right? Before some huge catalyzing event, like a fire, like you lose everything, whatever. Before that level of devastation has to happen, you get a wild, wild heads up. It's time to go, like I did. And I had to go, and I did for 3 years. And I got plopped into a grid line I never thought I'd be on. And now I know why. I know exactly why. This little like corner of the universe I'm in right now is so unbelievably stable and grounding. It is exactly what I need to be able to continue to trust and be as strong as I can for you guys for right now. I had to be here in a very stable, safe, grounded environment that is simple and that is slow and has seasons so I could be fully supported to be fully available for you in this work, partly, and for some other reasons too. By the way, I know a lot of you who are into astrocartography. I have a lot of the this level of spiritual girly that follows me. This place I'm in now is not anywhere close to any line. There's no line. I have very few lines in the United States. So if you're waiting for the next cue, if you're just kind of waiting for your life to start, baby, you're going to keep waiting. So transcend astrocartography, transcend astrology, utilize these things as tools. And if you're not getting anywhere, put it down, burn it the fuck down, and pick a location. And then the field and the path emerges. It doesn't matter where you go. It matters who you're being in the process of where you're going. So I'm going to circle back to Agenda 2028, Agenda 2030, which is about the creation of smart cities, where again, everything is on a grid and you are fully controlled by that. And the crisis ensues so the government can insert itself as a solution. And I am obviously a less government kind of lady. I am for the people, local mobilization, you know, hang out with your neighbor, get to know them, micro community kind of lady, where I think you, everything is a right, not a privilege. And living in harmony with nature is a deeply spiritual experience. And so is any sovereign system you attempt to do, which is moving through dissolving contracts with the feds or the country that you're in, or moving into creating your own system and helping other people do this for themselves, or integrating quantum potential into the work that you're doing now, which is what my sovereign system is all about. So I would say on deck, besides New York, I think Chicago, Miami, Baltimore, I would have to look out. Memphis, less so there, but big finance sectors, right? So San Francisco's already been obliterated. Los Angeles is now getting hammered, and New York will be on deck. London City, you're not immune. Chaos is going on right now in the UK is crazy. Big shakeups ahead there. Canada, big shakeups ahead there. It's going to be a very interesting year. But every year is going to have its challenges. And either way, successful people, one percenters, know how to utilize the environment, what they have, starting where they are to amplify their awakening. So why does destruction have to happen in order for the collective to awaken? Because we are so deeply distracted and asleep. We are so deeply distracted and asleep. And it's getting so painfully obvious that there are multiple timelines, quote unquote timelines, multiple realities, simulations happening at the same time. Like, it's pretty crazy. And we are deeply fixed with our goodies. We want to have a good life. We have been conditioned and we think that we need to perform and have our life look a certain way in order for us to be happy. And very few people want to change. Very few people have tenacity to sit in the fire with themselves. Very few people are, I would say a lot of people now are starting to get re-engaged with what it means to have a spiritual experience, but most people aren't really in tune with that. They're curious about it. They'll do maybe a movement class, but they don't really know what it means. And I think people are challenging belief systems and they're challenging God of their non-understanding. So the more we reconcile our own internal polarity and connect back to the God within ourselves, like I've said ad infinitum in my book, and I will continue to do so, the less we will see shit around us, the less destruction. But we cannot take it out on each other anymore. We have to move back into real discourse, and we have to open up our hearts, and we have to soften, and we can't take things personally. We just have to get curious about what our lives are showing us and be in a completely different feedback loop. And unfortunately, the feedback loop right now with California is that it's been deeply, deeply invaded by a very bad perceptual virus. If you look at this whole reality, Earth, as a simulated experience in a game, this level of it has infiltration pretty much everywhere. The idea through what I'm trying to offer you guys is the shortest amount of time that I can is to get you into incubators, get you into these little miniature portals, okay? So you can awaken, shake this shit out of your field, see yourself from an awakened perspective, and live from that place. Come online, fall in love with who you are, and then share those gifts with the world. And so your feedback loop doesn't have to come from suffering. And by the way, it still doesn't guarantee that you're not going to detox. I detox fucking every week, like every other day. I'm just like, ooh, okay. I did the clearing last night. I did not expect to have this much detox. So now I've got to move into self-care, cancel everything, take it slow, and move through this faster. And when I do that, I have a very fast recovery. So it's not about how quickly you awaken and then you're done. You're not graduating, you're surfing. You're literally surfing. Some days you're gonna get crushed by the wave. You take your board, you think the energy for the feedback loop and the lesson, think the ocean, go back into the shore, you're like, yeah, tough day out there. Or you get back out, right, when the sea settles a little bit more and you ride the wave. You're not gonna catch a wave every time, but you know and you trust yourself that you're not always gonna catch waves. You'll just catch the next one, right? Or you learn something that one time. You're like, yeah, you know what? I actually learned how to move my body and position my body in a different way to catch the curl and be able to ride a little bit longer. Like, you're always learning. So you will be connected and attracted to things, including what you want to contribute to the world, your vocation, your job, what you're doing to facilitate your life, that ultimately helps you to get to know yourself more. So if you're coming from a place of thinking you're not really good at anything or you don't have any passions, I would say there is an esteem and a lack pattern running there that thinks that you're not worthy of actually having access to yourself. And my guess would be that was a formidable pattern that was learned and taught to you. And because I see you, I can see and sense your gifts, and all of you are brilliant. All of you are. You don't have to be good at anything. Okay, here's the newsflash. You can just be amazing at being yourself and learning what that experience is. And that is part of the awakening process. It's a never-ending game. You're here for a short period of time to experience everything. Consciousness knows everything and can't experience anything. It cannot experience anything. Imagine being knowledge with nothing to interact with or interface with. Welcome to AI. Welcome to consciousness. All of it is a computer. It's information entropy that's constantly learning on itself. And right now, our consciousness is bifurcated. We are split so deeply and fragmented. We are not unified. So it will feel like anarchy and destruction for a while until we reconcile that shit within ourselves and come back to unity. Okay, now let's get into these questions. Okay, so outside of your work, do you have habits, i.e. new moon rituals, etc.? So I do not do like new moon rituals or anything like that. I utilize the seasons and I lean into those seasons and the frequencies of the energy of those seasons to amplify clearings, downloads, awakenings, whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And I very much take it on a day-to-day basis. Like real day to day, but moving my body, non-negotiable, getting out into the sun and getting into nature, non-negotiable, really taking care of my body, honoring it, non-negotiable. I just absolutely love hot baths and hot showers, like very, very, very simple, really slow mornings, not a whole lot of social media in the morning and in the evening. And I just keep it really, really low key. I've learned how to hang out and just be with myself. But the problem is it's double, it's a kind of a double-edged sword for me right now, because I am so deeply invested in cracking myself open to continue to be good for you guys, that I'm kind of constantly tuning in and seeing and being a receiver for information. And when I don't get anything and I kind of feel like my brain is offline, I just rest. I sleep a lot. I rest. And yeah, I love that shit. So my sense is there's a very large expansions ahead for me. So whenever I'm in a period where I rest a lot like that, it's usually because there's something else on the other side. So I just focus on my connection to my highest self and pure source. That's pretty much all I do. How do you see predictions? I see predictions as impressions, or they will just flood in to my awareness, usually when I'm not trying. So I go on drives quite a bit just to clear my head. When I was young and prior to my family's separation, my father and my mother separated, we were on the road a lot during visitations. They were 3.5-4 hour drives one way, and it calmed my nervous system a lot. My mother would put me in the car and drive me around, and that early imprintation imprinted onto me that whenever I go on drives and I take road trips and stuff, I just clear like a beast, and I just get so much information. I get a lot of my predictive shit in the car, because the screen is very similar to how I used to see when I first started learning, I would say, like, perception tools, or learning how to access myself in a different way, like learning how to lose my mind basically and free my mind. So I would create a screen, and I'm going to be talking about this, by the way, in the Healers Hub, perception tools and ways to access and how to utilize some of these foundational psychic tools. That will be all in the Healers Hub. So no matter what level you're at, Healers Hub is going to be fire. Monthly support, extra goodies, lots of content in there. I'm going to load it up in a couple weeks. So the first week in February, you guys are going to have like 2 to 3 medis in there and some stuff to dive into before our live meditation starts. So I used to see a screen, and I think the windshield becomes that. And so for me, and I'm kind of looking at it and perceiving information in a very computer algorithmic way, which is becoming even more compounded. You know, like, that's why I ask you guys now in session, like, you got to tell me specifically what it is, because there's so much data points now. I'm just like, I don't have the time to read all this shit right now. Just give me a point, give me a focus, because like, I'll get a general theme, and then, you know, we'll chip away from there. The reason why I harp so much on consistency with this work is you're not going to see the benefit by using me for a crisis manager. You're just not, because that's not the level of integrity that this work is optimized for. It is optimized to learn, to help you learn about yourself, and that requires working the muscle of it. So when you kickstart momentum, it's really, really helpful to be in a container that's going to help you move through that detox and understand what that is and stay stable. Some of you guys will have a really profound session. Some things will get worse after, and then you're kind of confused why, because you don't have enough of the understanding of the mechanics. That's why I'm pulling back on my individual sessions, and I'm blowing it out for January and then moving into groups. So when you're in the power of the group, we all can move faster together. I get a buoy. I help you all expand, because you're accessing an entirely different level of information. It's literally creating more mass, more speed, more momentum when you've got group, and when you've got group that are and individuals that are operating at higher levels, then everybody benefits from that. And then it ripples into the collective like a beast. And that feedback loop becomes exponential. And then you just start getting these huge kicks, and you get above the wave. Right now, some of you guys are trying to swim and catch a wave without any help. So that's what I love about group work. I'll say I love it all, right? But group work is becoming more important now. And at least this year, in the last year a little bit, but especially this year, it wasn't when I first started. I was really, really heavy on individual work, and still was in year 2. But moving into year 3, it's definitely all about groups. A very long-winded answer. I see predictions just like I see everything else. Everything is patterns. It's all waves of information, waveforms. And I'll get them as impressions or streams of consciousness or just knowings. Okay. I understand that we come to Earth under certain agreed upon parameters, forgetting who we are, experiencing time, etc. Do embodied ET living in our galaxy universe have the same parameters? Do embodied ET living in our galaxy? I'm going to take that as those who have, let's say, non-human DNA or hybrid technology in their DNA, which most of us kind of do. There's some people I've met who are like just fully human and don't have ET DNA. I definitely have hybrid technology DNA. I've transcended a lot of that to fully move into clarifying what that looks like in a human form. And they do have the same parameters. That's why it's really hard. Everybody has the same parameters when they enter into this Earth school reality, into this operating system, into this quote unquote matrix. That's why it's so hard. People think it's really cool to be like, oh my God, I'm Palladian, and, or I'm Sirian, I'm Lyrian, I'm Arcturian, I'm this type of starseed or this type of whatever. It just means you came through a constellation. It doesn't make you more advanced. It doesn't make you better than anybody. In fact, it's wildly fucking harder. I have met starseeds who think they're so fucking special that they completely remove themselves from society and give themselves all these different kinds of rule sets. And I was like, no, you came here to learn how to be human. Okay. You came here to learn how to operate inside of this system with a human filter from your consciousness. That's what you came here to learn. You're from this particular consciousness. It's like you're from France and you've flown to California to experience California and you need to learn how to assimilate here, right? Californians talk a certain way. They eat a certain way, right? Like I'm born and raised. And it has morphed into some weird, crazy, hijacked version of itself. Starseeds and different, let's say, hybridized technology DNA, for example, is just like visiting other countries. It's no different. It's just a different level of access points, and it's a different level of knowledge. So let's say that particular DNA set or that structure of information would be associated with a certain level of contracts within a specific database or consciousness that you are tuned into in order to evolve, right? Like, for example, my background, wherever I came from, me synthesizing all these different timelines, synthesizing all this different level of consciousness is for my highest evolution. And I'm here to awaken, remember, and come online and transcend it all, transcend the game. So I have more option, right? I wouldn't choose to come back here veiled again. Like, why would I do that? Why would I want to have to like take care of the body again if I had, let's say, other options that seemed more interesting for me? Like, I get what this game is. This is a veiling experience. It's deeply, deeply dense. And there's systems within systems within systems that you need to operate within. And it can feel extremely hard at times and extremely isolating. And you're here for an extremely short period of time where sometimes it can feel like it's absolutely never ending and will always be that way. And other times you feel like it went by so fast. And the veils are very, very thin in the first 13 to 20 years of life, 25, and the veils are extremely thin towards the later 10 years of your life. That's why both have different sets of wisdom. There's kids that seem so extremely brilliantly wise. And then there's, of course, our elders that we love who are just beloved and wise that have all these lessons for us because they have the experience of finite time. So when you have kids who are timeless and then you've got the finite time perspective with the elders, all of it is a relationship with a physical body that is decaying because our atoms are decaying. Our physical body is carbon and it is decaying over time. This has been a mutation from our DNA over 100,000 years of different types of species coming in and altering that and changing telomeres and putting caps on them and limiting our potential and our access to the God within us. And we've been incredibly dumbed down. And but all of it is for your own individual evolution. If you needed to be able to see a certain level of perceptive, quality to life, if you needed to have those gifts, you would, right? If I needed to see, you know, to the nth degree, the baby tiny pixels of an image, then I would see that because it was specific for me in order to be able to do what I need to do to be of highest service to myself, you, and Pure Source. So when it comes to gifting and understand that, the Pleiadian aspect of you is lovely, but it's not necessary. It shouldn't be worn as a badge to create a hierarchy. Nothing is between you and your highest self and Source, nothing. There's can be guides, there can be catalyzers. You know, I'm like, come on in, we're going this way, basically. And your highest selves essentially are just accessing my knowledge until, and my database, and utilizing the information that I have until you guys create your own, which is what the sovereign system is for. And everything in between the pattern recognition and the high voltage mastermind. I mean, these programs are available for you to clear at a deeper level and then be able to access patterns and recognize patterns within yourself. And that is the body aspect. We have the emotional body. We have a trauma body. I mean, I've seen AI bodies. I've seen Pleiadian body and Syrian bodies. I mean, there's been a lot of pain and like orphan syndrome from not, you know, feeling like you're alone, from being very distant from or distanced from your original quote unquote starseed family. You're supposed to learn how to be human. This body is masterful for this reality. It, again, there's limitations, but the level of technology that we're at now is very, very optimized. And we're living longer, we're waking up faster. And the more we can honor the body and take it with us, the more fun we're going to have. That's for sure. I listen to your Coherence podcast and get that most of us are impatient when it comes to the outer reflection changing after the inner work is done. But the gap is so effing painful at times. How to navigate this death space with more grace? It's a really beautiful question. radical self-care would be one suggestion. And also to notice that gap and then do a deeper reflection of previous months, the latest version of you that you can remember. Sit down with a friend, a family member, and say, can you just highlight for me what you feel has changed in the last 6 months to 12 months? Because I am completely veiled from that level of growth. I can't see myself that clearly right now. And I'm kind of feeling like it just doesn't seem really all the way fair right now. And if you are part of the Very Freaky Book Club on Substack, or you have the book already, you're going to want to jump to chapter 15, which is all about lack, because I talk about chronic discontent and spiritual entitlement there, which I had to transcend myself and I still have to check myself on. Because if you feel like you've been on your path for a long time and you're just like, where's my shit? Where the fuck's my shit? I want my cake. I want my shit. Like, I'm owed. What the fuck? And it's really frustrating because you can feel the density of the space between who you know you are and the reality you're living in now. And that just feels like a never-ending Ferris wheel of bum out, right? Like, when is this gap gonna fucking close already? I'll say this, it closes when you're willing to accept your life and your reality no matter where you are, when you expect nothing, when you take the gifts that are given to you. And I've had nothing several times. And I have been able to lean into the most mundane, simple moments of my life and been deeply, deeply grateful for them. And that has catalyzed me through a tremendous amount of pain. And I seek to understand. So when I'm in crisis, I don't want comfort. I want clarity. And when I can dive back into my body and get a screen change, get into nature, get a walk in, and just lean in and accept and start where I am, I start to move through and my perception changes. Because the pain you're feeling is everything you've been carrying up to the moment that you're aware that you've been carrying it, leaving the body or wanting to leave the body. That's why if you're moving through a lot of density right now, invest in something. The podcast religiously, do it consistently. Re-listen to them in the background. Grab something from the shop. Create a ritual for you that includes a frequency or a perspective that will help you shift the screen that you are currently looking at right now. You're looking for a perceptual shift. Some people or motivational people will call it a quote unquote state change. you're looking for a perception shift is what you're looking for. And your perception creates your reality. Your perception creates the screens you're looking at. The patterns and the programs that are creating the belief systems are producing the screen that you're looking at and you're interacting with. It's producing the feedback loop that you're interacting with. Your nervous system is thinking it's in lack and scarcity and not enoughness. And that's producing the feedback that you're interacting with, and so on and so forth. And you experience that until you surrender, soften, and trust. And then move into contrary action around not feeling like you're a victim of the life that you created. It's a big one. So gratitude, radical self-love, seek clarity, step into contrary action, and start with where you are and start with what you know. All right, let's get into the next question. Are there specific female-male differences in patterns and frequency? For example, if women in general carry lack patterns and men carry blank, how much... Hold on, I need to clarify this question really fast. Okay, the gist is, do I see patterns in men differently than I see patterns in women? So yes, that's actually a very interesting question. So I clearly work with more women than I do men, but I also do work quite a bit on couples. I would say I work a ton on children, which is always an honor. Men carry a different level of responsibility, shame, and guilt, and resentment, and I would say suppressed rage than women. They carry it differently in the body. So you guys know that I talk a lot about the brainstem and the sternum because that's the dimension or the level that I see survivability patterns and how it informs your identity. The center of the brain is going to have all different kinds of stuff. The way you see yourself, self-perception, self-identity. The stomach area, digestion issues is going to hold all kinds of personal power, disempowerment, atrophied self-esteem, and a myriad of other things. The reproductive organs, though, however, I work a lot on the reproductive organs with men because so much of that area drives the decision. I mean, they're kind of like, it's like brain and groin for men. Women, it's like heart and brain and then groin, like last, reproductive area last. But women hold a lot of shame. They hold a lot of guilt. There's a lot of good girl, bad girl programming in the reproductive area. There's a lot of lifetime stuff that gets stuck here, mutilation. And then with men, I work a lot on fear of responsibility, fear of accountability, and helping them with personal power and basically finding their balls again because they have been so emasculated over time. And there's been so many lifetimes of war and famine and like just dying that inevitably the softer type archetype of a man will match with the incarnation of their childhood, which is usually with a stronger woman who's had to do it all. So I work on masculine feminine polarities quite a bit and evening out or trying to find balance in the relationship by way of separating the codependency out, separating the enmeshment out, and helping couples create new zero points. So they're either going to make a decision to stay together and work through their own shit separately, and or they're going to walk away. And then if it's meant to be, they're going to come back. I mean, you kind of have two options, right? You need to burn everything down the way that things have been created. No matter where you are, you create a new zero point. And that can be done like that. Is energy has to transform. It needs a place to go. So you need to create different parameters. The masculine needs to be able to do that, right? So one, you kind of... I think one person described it to me as the woman is the water and the man is the banks. They're the shore, right? The masculine has to set the parameters so the woman can flourish and be soft and supple and direction and be, and women, really women are leading, but they're leading in a different way with a different set of energy. The feminist movement has exploited that and turned us all into this like equality seeking machine. And trust me when I say you do not want to be, I do not want to be equal to a man. At least I'll speak for myself. I do not want to be equal. Yes, we're talking about having the opportunity to be able to do certain things, but the more I tune in to very divine feminine frequencies and the more that I soften and the older that I get, quite honestly, and I realize how much my own distortion patterns distorted my own potential, my possibility of motherhood and children and what that looks like for me. And I have been so smacked in the face with that the last year. Like I've had major, major reality checks with that shit. And my biggest reverence is for mamas right now because I understand how deeply powerful it is. The more I really tune in with Gaia, the consciousness of the earth, and deeply powerful women, liberating them, truly liberating them in some way, I am so deeply humbled at how creation and how much creation women hold, and men as creator, okay, having to create the physical, physically make stuff, but how women are creation itself. We need both. And if you haven't bought the, or was on the consciousness call, the 5D consciousness call with, that was just nuts what came through. So grab it. It's very interesting. But so I see patterns very differently in my men and women. And also there's a lot of mirroring going on. So I'll see, let's say a man and, or couples get together, like heterosexual, okay, man and woman, that, and I also work with same couples, but one of them is holding a different energy. Okay. So there'd be more masculine energy, more feminine energy. And, but I'll see, let's say a heterosexual couple will come to me and, let's say they're in their wounded feminine and the woman is in her wounded feminine. So they're actually in a mirror of the same wound, whereas the female will feel like she's in a mother wound response, or excuse me, a father wound response, but really her biggest deficit has been the mother wound. And if you have both of them, then you will reincarnate the biggest wound that you experienced in your childhood, in your relationship first, and or you'll get a second, let's say you've been together for 5 or 6, 7 years, you'll move through, let's say, one of the wounds together, and then you'll move through the other one. So you kind of will match karmically in that way. And the divine union of it all, in quotes, doesn't come together with all of that lower baggage. You come together at a completely different point in your lives with a completely different set of awarenesses, super solid self-sourced, and then you facilitate a completely different level of work together. So it's all good. None of it is like, you know what I mean? It's not, you're partnered with who you're partnered based on the level of awareness that you're at, and you can't fuck it up because it's all learning, right? However, as consciousness continues to rise, that level of partnership and union will be more readily available for us. And I know that there's many, many of us that are out there, including myself, that are seeking to swing so fucking big in life to have it all. And believe me, I'm worth it, and so are fucking you. And I'm here to be a guide for that. Full stop. That's why 2025 is a full send. Okay, I think we're gonna end it there, y'all. This podcast was fire. Share it, like it, fucking give your girl a bone. Leave me some good ass reviews and shit. People be trying to hate on me. Just kidding. But I'm rooting for you. I'm here for you. Sending you very big love. Come join the party for the next few months. We're going to need each other through these wild times. Hold on to your hats. Ride the wave. If y'all want to learn and read up more about disaster capitalism, which is basically what we're in with all these fires, read A Case for Letting Malibu Burn by Mike Davis, The Ecology of Fear by Mike Davis, and The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. All right, y'all, I will speak to you in a couple weeks. Take care.